This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, this is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9, the show where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology. My name is Mark. With me in the studio, madly pressing buttons, is Michael.
I'm not mad.
Well, okay.
Don't get mad, get even.
You could have fooled me. No.
Hello.
Hello, Michael. And also in the studio today, we have all the way from Sydney, Common.
Me, it's Jason.
Common, well, not so common, guest of TechnoGaze. Also winner of the Lizzie's Best Independent Media Coverage Award.
Ah, oh, thank you, guys.
So congratulations.
So I should just point out that it was Ozdroid that won the award, not me personally.
Indeed.
But it is a site that I write for, and I am very proud of us all.
Hmm. Congratulations on that, and thank you for joining us today as well.
Thank you for having me. It has been a long time since I've actually been... It's been a long time since I've been in Melbourne. It's been a long time since I've been in the studio, and yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
Welcome. Welcome back. Now... On today's show, we'll kick off with a look at some details of the features and additions available for Windows 10. Of course, Windows 10 is the next version of Windows that will come out.
Windows Next?
What's Windows?
VNext, as they like to refer to it. Windows, it's an operating system.
So it's like my Mac.
Do they have a double glazed version?
That's what happens when you run your firewall software.
Well, there are actually seven editions.
I thought
of
there
the
were nine.
Windows. Oh, nine? What?
No. There's seven editions of Windows 10, but there are nine versions of Windows. Except, I think they might have skipped a couple of versions somewhere as well.
Well, they skipped. I guess they skipped one and two. Well, one and two weren't really available.
I saw version two. Yeah. I saw the floppy disks.
No,
about
Windows
30.
1 and 2 were real. Hmm. But I think it gets a little bit hairy between Windows 3 and Windows 7 because you had 95, 98, Millennium Edition, 2000.
3.1, 3.11.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. We will talk about Windows in just a few moments.
Are we hijacking your intro?
Yes, you are.
Excellent.
Netflix is settling in here in Australia and some interesting statistics have been broadcast, have been published.
And then retracted. And then published again.
Yes. Russian Siri is a little bit coy, I guess. Maybe, is that a good word? Coy about certain things?
Not
homosexual?
Bad. Yeah, I don't know if coy is the right word.
It's a bit, I don't know.
It's stronger than coy.
Yeah, it's, well, anyway, it's a bit concerning, some of the things that Siri...
Is it also unsure how many versions of Windows are available in Russia?
We should ask it.
Yeah. Does it work if I just ask an accent?
Oh, this is going to be
Boris.
The perfect opportunity for you to bring out your Russian accent.
Duh.
Duh. Спасибо.
Now, Apple, of course, I'm here in the show, so, you know, Apple rates mention. There's a few things, good and bad as well, including, of course, the Siri discussion, but we've got some rumours around the iPhone 6, the next version of the iPhone 6, presumably 6S.
Well, we don't really know for sure, but we are hearing that there's going to be like a 6S and a 6C, which is a bit strange, but we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see what we see.
We'll discuss that later on. And just to balance it out a little bit, Samsung, their next smartwatch will be featured later on in the show as well. Well, not featured as such, but we'll talk about the features, perhaps. Why not?
I don't know whether the wrestling match we had over, shall we include the story or not, could be considered balanced. But Jason and I against you,
Don't forget, you can always text us here in the studio. You can text us 0427JOY949. If you're driving, please do pull over when you do that. If you'd like to email us, you can do so by emailing onair@joy.org.au. And you can also check us out on Twitter at Technogaze, TechnoGaze. And we're all over social media as well. So facebook.com/technogaze, joy949. If you want to connect with us there, we often post little interesting snippets throughout the week. Now, speaking of Facebook, thank you and hello to Richard, Chris and Donovan. That's Chris and Donovan, who are recent followers of us on Facebook.
Thank you.
Indeed.
And welcome.
It's lovely.
So where we get the claps?
They're all lovely people. We checked out their Facebook profiles and, yeah.
You mean you stalked them?
No, I mean I used metadata retention services to check them out.
Oh, jeez.
Do you work for the government cleaning service and you have access to it?
Michael's looking at me and laughing but isn't really sure how to take that.
He's like, how do I get access to this? No. Okay, so let's kick off with Windows 10.
I will be right back.
Now, I think we need to talk about the features first off that are going to be included in Windows 10 and the basic features that are on offer. According to some recent coverage out of Build 2015, which is like one of Microsoft's big conferences of the year, they've talked about the features such as Cortana. Now, that's their version of Siri, basically.
It's a very
isn't it?
Hard word to pronounce.
I know.
It's not that bad. Well, if you've ever played Halo, it's very easy. Because Cortana is the artificial intelligence in Halo.
Right.
And she's made quite a good transition into Windows. It's been very well received.
Good. Yep. Microsoft Edge browser. I say that with a little smile in my voice because it's really like this is a new web browser, isn't it?
So it's a new browser. It's still using the same rendering engine that Internet Explorer uses, mm-hmm. but it's still Trident at the heart of it. But no one really knows about Trident, and to be fair, Internet Explorer's recent versions have been very good. They're standards compliant, they're fast and they're speedy, but they're still Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're still trying to shake that stigma off.
I think having had to deal with certain, particularly Internet Explorer 8 issues, they still support a lot of that craftiness.
They still support it, but the newer versions of Internet Explorer, as long as you're writing things in a standards compliant way, they're pretty awesome.
Mm. Yes,
I get confused with IE and the compatibility versions, and
so do I. I leave that for my front end developers now.
Mm. Isn't it nice to have? Yeah. Yes. Okay, so Microsoft's Edge browser. There is one other key difference of the Edge browser, of course. That is the icon, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So Microsoft has dumped the little blue E with the circle around it, mm-hmm. which we all know used to signify Internet Explorer, and they've replaced it with a little blue E with a few spikes on it, which is the Edge browser icon. So, you know, you can't possibly confuse the two.
No, no.
No, not at all. And, of course, it does look like Internet Explorer and Sonic the Hedgehog had a baby.
Google it. It's quite...
But that's okay, because it's supposed to be fast. So, like, why wouldn't you want Sonic the Hedgehog in your browser?
Yes. I think at least it will be backwards compatible with the standard support request, which is press the big E button to get onto the internet, right?
Yeah, I think that's quite true.
E Look, for internet.
There are plenty of other good things coming in Windows 10 as well. Mm. I'm quite interested in what they call the continuum mode. So it's for their touch-capable devices and for their tablet modes. But a Windows 10 device can switch in and out of this mode. It can. So if you have like a tablet that can dock into a keyboard stand, when you remove it, it goes into tablet mode and your apps are still running and their interfaces will adjust.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
I have suspicion about whether they'll do it well, though. Whether some things will be recognized sometimes and then not like removed when you I don't know.
Is Continuum there in the current version of Windows?
No.
No. Okay. Mm.
No, that's definitely a new feature. But it is in some of the technical previews for 10 at the moment, I think.
It's like plug and play, but on steroids, I guess, isn't it?
I guess in a way. It's no longer a USB thing for plug and play because, you know, different devices have different interfaces. But I guess they all probably come down to a serial bus. But
yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So there's Windows Hello as well. There's face recognition even iris recognition and fingerprint login for devices, which this is something that we're starting to see a lot on mobiles at the moment. You know, everyone's got fingerprint scanners coming out. I think every one of us has a fingerprint scanner on our phones now. And so it makes sense that this kind of thing would end up on desktops as well. And so, yeah, Microsoft's just giving you more ways to log into your computer, which is pretty cool.
Biometrics. Much easier to remember my iris than it is to remember a password.
Well, a friend of mine got married a few weeks ago, and he had a fingerprint tree at his reception, where everyone had to go up and put your fingerprint into the ink and then make a tree with all these leaves on it. Mm. And I walked up to him and I just remarked, it's very impressive how easily you've gotten everyone to give up their biometric information just by having a wedding.
They spent the whole honeymoon hacking into everybody's accounts.
They sure did.
Now, one of the other features that has been talked about for Windows 10 is the ability to stream Xbox One games, which I presume is from some sort of cloud service, or maybe from your own Xbox.
Probably from your own Xbox. So remote play is becoming quite a big thing in the console world. Mm. So if you have a PlayStation 4, you can remote play onto your Xperia smartphone or onto, say, a PlayStation Vita as well. Mm. There's a lot of Steam remote streaming going on as well, so you can play your Steam game on your computer, but you can play it on a tablet over in the corner of the room. You know, the Wii even lets you do that on the tablet controller. You can stream your game from your console, so you don't actually need a TV for that anymore.
Yep.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of attempts to get your console games off the big screen in your house and onto a little screen.
It starts creating the Microsoft ecosystem, I guess. You know, with a pretty strong brand being Xbox, and you know, their other pretty strong brand being, hey, you know, your machine on your lap,
and everything just works together, like Apple.
Yeah. So, of course, there's also a few first-party universal Windows apps. Photos, maps, mail, calendar, music and video. All the stuff that you sort of expect to be built into the operating system. What we do know is that there's going to be quite a number of editions of it. There's Windows 10 Home for consumers, Mobile for smaller mobile touch-centric devices like phones and tablets. There's Pro for businesses using PCs. There's Enterprise for more stuff in Pro. You know, you get Enterprise security and volume licensing.
I will just pick up. So yeah. Pro, the Windows 10 Pro is more for, I guess, what would we call ourselves, the power user. It allows you to actually manage devices and apps in a way that you possibly couldn't with the Home editions.
Yeah. So if you have multiple PCs that you need to manage, so that's sort of where the business side of it comes in. But power users too.
The demarcation line used to be that the Pro edition or the business one was you could sign on to an Active Directory, and the Home one you couldn't. Mm. Yeah. I wonder if that's still there, or were they allowing the Home one? Because when they had their home server mm-hmm. that it had Active Directory and you had to sign on.
Yeah. I think that's probably gone now, because I think people know that there's a lot more network stuff happening in homes these days. So other editions, there's also Education and Mobile Enterprise. And the more interesting one is there's an Internet of Things Core, which is for small footprint and low-cost devices. So, we're talking ATMs, point-of-sale systems, handhelds, and even industrial robotics.
I wonder if that's built off the Nano Server Core that we spoke about last week.
It could be. I've seen a few people playing with the Nano Server Core.
Yeah.
Just people tweeting about it in the last few days. And people are like, I can't get my .NET application to run on Nano Server. So I was like, ah, dear.
Now, in just a few moments, we'll be talking about a new autonomous quadcopter, or is it a quadcopter?
Will it be running Internet of Things Core Windows 10? Probably not.
You're listening to Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Technogaze. Love your afternoons. Joy 94.9.
It is still the afternoon here on Joy 94.9. Michael, Jason and Mark with you. On this very, well, it's actually quite a nice day.
It was beautiful
Melbourne.
Outside.
It was
lovely. And tomorrow is going to be lovely.
Yes.
For Pride Cup.
Great come opportunity along. To come along to Pride Cup out in the, whereabouts?
The Yarra Glen.
Cool. Now, Lily. I'm going to have trouble saying the name.
Lily.
I don't understand why you guys have such trouble saying Lily.
I get a bit tongue-tied, I guess, with that.
A bad childhood memory.
So it is a autonomous following you around with a camera device, isn't it, really? It's quite a cute little thing.
That was really awkward.
Is that your personal journalist? Well, documenting your life?
Yes, I guess maybe. It could be. At 20 minutes at a time, yeah.
Yeah. Change the battery.
So it's a quadcopter that will follow you around and film you. So you can be your own character in your own video game, really.
I have my own stalker to do that.
Yeah. Look, I've apologized for that on many occasions.
Sorry, I should let it go.
But Lily seems to be the evolution of something that I saw mentioned quite a while ago, where these students went out and built a drone that would follow your Bluetooth signal around. And so they'd go out and surf, and it would just hang there in the sky filming them. It would point the camera at them. So it's great. This technology has finally come to a point where they can actually release it to the public. Mm. So it's got a 12-megapixel camera on board, and it's got a so that can actually shoot 1080p video. Whole thing weighs 1.3 kilometers, and it's got
kilometers.
It weighs kilometers. It weighs 1.3 kilograms, and it's got an accelerometer, which is why I said kilometers. It's got a 3-axis gyroscope. It's even got a barometer and GPS.
I wonder why it has a barometer. Is it trying to take note of the weather or something?
Maybe
like?
It hides when it rains.
Compensate for the wind.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I don't know the physics of flying, I guess. Anyway.
Now you just like to do it.
I do. So front and bottom facing camera, which is great. So the idea of this thing is to just hover above you. You hold a tracking device and it keeps track of you, and it goes up to 40 kilometers an hour to 40
kilograms an hour.
And that's to keep up with you skiing downhill, which is what the video shows.
Yeah, yeah. Skiing, there's a bit of white water, water
it's
rafting.
Pretty amazing, really.
So if you don't do any of those, you don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah. To quote
one of the other participants in this show, Arby, he said, "I would love the lifestyle that would require me to have this product."
It's like when you see Facebook's own test product pages and stuff, how they've got amazing photos of people doing amazing things, and it's like no one I follow on Facebook does this kind of stuff. It's like I always see pictures of people half asleep in bed going, "Why do I have to get up?" rather than like I'm here in, you know, southern Mexico at a spiritual temple or something.
Yeah. I wonder what the distance is between where it is and where it transmits to. Or does it transmit to the person that's...
I think it records.
It records?
It just records on board, yeah.
Oh, it's a shame because I could have sort of sent it off after my mother or something when she goes down the street. But 20 minutes wouldn't be enough time.
That's probably a plug-in.
Long cord.
Yeah, yeah.
Refueling stops along the way.
Yeah.
It is quite cute because you actually... what you do is you just sort of throw it into the air and it just takes off from there, which is another...
splat on the concrete.
Hopefully it doesn't. And hopefully it doesn't take anyone out along the way.
There is a certain company that makes drones, and one of their features is that you throw it into the air and it realizes that you've thrown it into the air and starts up.
Yeah.
So they gave it to me at the launch event, and I was like, awesome! And I threw it in the air, and it just came crashing down because I didn't hit the switch before I threw it in the air. And they were like, no.
Oh, geez. Well, as long as it was a demo device, it should be fine.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty cool new product, I guess. It's nice to keep up with what's happening in the quadcopter world, even though they're not calling it a quadcopter so much.
They're calling it a Lily.
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 Now, Netflix. We've had the experience of Netflix for, a month and a half now in Australia?
Not that I have personally.
And the whole of Australia are converts, I believe.
Wow.
Well, apparently, if you believe certain other media companies, the whole of Australia was already watching it.
So there was a company called Pocketbook, and they actually it's a very loose connection here, but Pocketbook they have a smartphone app which allows you to categorize the purchases that you make through your banking, and sort of manage how much you spend on this versus that, and of course they aggregate all that information as well across multiple across all their users, and they come up with all these interesting stats on
which they sell.
Not sure if they aggregate to start with.
I think it's a really interesting way of looking at the data, though. I mean, it's only a subset. Like, I actually have Pocketbook, but their app is not currently installed, but their server is still accessing my accounts and aggregating.
Because you've given that permission.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, like, it's kind of funny. Like occasionally, I haven't installed it in about 6 months, but occasionally I get emails from them saying you really need to pay your credit card off.
Naughty, naughty.
Yeah.
Now it's during the week they released a report saying that Netflix has overtaken Foxtel. Of course, the leader of subscription video services here in Australia, capturing a whole 39% of the market, while Foxtel only has 38%, or had slipped to 38%, according to this particular release.
After 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
I do think it's interesting that the statistic that was reported was Netflix versus Foxtel, because one is a pay TV company and the other is a streaming video company. And so Foxtel does have a streaming service.
Yes.
And I wonder if that might have been the service that they were comparing.
But they, considering the source of the information being just
credit cards.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they could distinguish between, or maybe they could.
Maybe they can by the price.
Yes, that's true. But yeah, so not 2 days later after this release was published, and even quite a large media company also republished this information.
You could almost hear the brakes being applied and the backpedaling starting as the newspapers went to press.
Foxtel, of course, stuck their head up and said, actually, we're still the leader. We've still got 2.8 million subscribers. Yeah, try and make that in a month and a half, Netflix. So the actual numbers that were floating around, I don't think I've got the Netflix numbers. I think it's in the hundreds of thousands, so, which isn't
a small amount.
But
for
don't forget, Netflix gives the first month away for free. Trial subscription. So how could they even, within 6 weeks, you know, have a full billing cycle of paid users?
So there's also, you also got to consider in these numbers as well, the report that came out showed that Netflix basically entered the Australian market and completely crated Presto and Stan at the same time. But Stan then came out and queried the numbers and said that the numbers that were reported did not actually pay attention. They were paying attention to their main website, not the website that people log into to play videos.
That's interesting.
And so they were like, "Yeah, your numbers are completely wrong, with Stan."
Yeah, right.
And that, like, none of these guys really want to talk numbers per se, except perhaps Netflix might want to.
There's this real, like, ever since Netflix sort of decided to come to Australia, I mean, obviously competition has actually picked up as a result of Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think there's also a bit of love, heart, eyes for Netflix in the broader community at the moment. Because they have done that, whether that's going to continue or not, because there are other people going, actually, the video that's offered, the service that Netflix are offering, it's not anywhere near what they offer in the US, as in the shows that you
can
get.
The range of shows, yeah.
Nor is it, I mean, it's fast. It seems to work pretty well.
Well, actually, that's an interesting question. If we move on to
depending on the
ISP that you're on,
yes.
I do think it's kind of cool that Netflix has been doing this kind of thing for a while in the States, where they will assess the speed of their data getting to different consumers via different ISPs, and then they basically dob on the slow ISPs to the public, and then they've come out here and they're like, yeah, we're going to do the same thing for Australia.
So they've basically released the average download speeds for across the major ISPs, including Telstra, Optus, and iiNet, and TPG as well, I think was included, which may well be considered iiNet now.
TPG, Optus, and iiNet were a close top three. And
last, of course. Now I wonder if this
drum roll.
So, and we're talking the difference between 3 megabytes a second versus 2.5 megabytes a second. 2.5 goes to, I think, Telstra.
Yeah.
Which, of course, are the half owners of Foxtel.
So 2.5 megabytes a second. It's actually kind of weird to see Telstra lagging in a speed test. But they don't have a peering arrangement with Netflix.
No.
So that's, in order to get the data, they have to go out of their network to get it. But also, like, 2.5 megs a second is fine for streaming Netflix anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, so, that's where the figures, and I guess your point around them actually, what this does achieve is shaming an ISP as opposed to, talking about quality of service. Mm. It's good that Netflix are keeping an eye on these figures, because it means that they can tweak whatever they need to and maybe talk to ISPs about how they can improve performance or that sort of thing.
Of course, Netflix has, you know, got an agenda in publishing this as well, because they want a peering arrangement with Telstra, probably. Mm.
Mm. But the flip side of the story is they don't talk about how are the other non-Netflix users affected by it. Because there was a lot of talk about iiNet customers and Optus customers who weren't using Netflix, and suddenly the bandwidth basically just fell out of the floor and they had no service. Now, maybe Telstra managed it better and basically gave enough to the Netflix users so they'd work without destroying the other users' capabilities.
There's no doubt. I mean, network engineering, you know, I would say that Telstra would have a pretty good department in that regard.
Yeah, well, so Telstra does have a department full of people who are dedicated to doing that. So, yeah.
Not saying that iiNet and Optus don't, but, you know, perhaps they're the leaders in that regard. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
It's also worth pointing out that some of those top three do have arrangements with Netflix for providing services as well.
Yes, of course. In Optus share Netflix, or they're actually advertising Netflix with their Fetch TV service, and so do iiNet.
So Netflix has actually, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Netflix has not actually advertised themselves. If you walk down the street and you see Netflix on a billboard, it's actually a partner.
Yes.
It's never, they're not actually advertising themselves. They're doing it online, but in the physical meat space, they're using their partners to advertise.
Now, if you're looking for other, we need to move on from Netflix for just a quick moment. If you're looking for other reasons why your internet might be slowing down, perhaps this is the reason. The Register has reported some home routers being co-opted into a massive botnet. Now, botnet,
that
of course...
hasn't happened for about a week.
apparently, hackers should get an elephant stamp for this one, for the ingenuity behind
it. It's pretty smart, I think.
So we're talking about botnets, which are basically hackers are able to take control of devices on your own network, say
usually
your own
PCs.
PC or whatever. They get access to it. They maybe do it without you knowing, but you know, you might notice things like your computer or your internet service slows down as a result.
And there could be a bit of social engineering to get you to actually install the botnet software.
Yes. Yeah. Windows support call unsolicited
out of the blue. Yeah.
at 7 o'clock at night. Typically, it's someone actually trying to hack you. This was possible, of course, because users are not changing the default password on their routers. So we're talking about routers here, the things that connect you to the internet.
Yeah, we should also point out that routers have been getting smarter over the years and more powerful. So in the past, like, your router wouldn't have really had the guts to really function in a botnet, but now they've got more CPU, they've got more RAM, and yeah, they're actually like a little computer. Someone could take over it and use it for nefarious purposes.
Yes. So there's a couple of features that you should, if you want to check whether you're vulnerable at least to this, you should check if your router has wide area network administration
turned off.
Make sure it's turned off, because it basically means someone from the outside world can administer your router.
Yeah, so you want to disable that.
Yeah. Yes. So unless you really want to, you know, administer your router from somewhere other than your home?
I've never had a scenario where I've wanted to connect to my home router from abroad. I mean, it's very hard to know what the IP address is, let alone, you know, actually do anything with it. And also, you want to change the default password on your router.
And make it a decent length.
Yes. You know, a lot of routers these days, particularly from the big ISPs, they will have a pretty complex password already set, but there are some, if you get them from the shop...
admin password?
Yeah, it's typically just admin for the username password. So, you know, log into it and change that password.
And don't change it to QWERTY.
No.
Or monkey.
Hmm. Or hello.
If you have a device that on which you can run it, I would suggest you install LastPass and set that up and make your admin password for your router something that you don't even know.
Mm. Yes, like mine. This is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9. We'll be back with more, including a bit of a talk about Siri and the use of Siri in Russia. TechnoGaze! TechnoGaze, Joy 94.9.
Are you just saying things?
Words.
Radio, FM. Technology. Let's talk about some of it.
Yeah, yeah. So, Apple. Apple. The iPhone 6S is 6S? 6? Six.
Well, so this is like, so what, the 5 became the 5S and the upgraded model?
Everything becomes the S. The 3G became the 3GS, the 4 became the 4S, the 5 became the 5S.
What's the S for? Superior? Smarter?
Well, it depends. It changes from generation to generation. At one point it was speed.
Yes.
And I can't remember what the other times were. It was like special or something. and then in different generations it's been uppercase and lowercase as well.
Well, see, so what was the 5C then?
Colour one.
Yeah.
No,
colour or cheap.
Colour. So what about the plus? What about the plus?
The plus?
Is it plus S?
Well, bigger. So the plus is for bigger.
Yeah, no. But we now have the 6 and the 6 plus.
Yeah.
If we're talking about 5S and
plus S.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to plus size people?
Well.
So, in some of the rumours that have been rounded up from analysts,
are you an analyst now?
Apparently.
Well, everyone's an analyst.
I could, dip my finger in the air and figure out what Apple might do next, I guess. These are paid people.
That's
too.
Not the only place you can dip your finger to figure out what Apple does next.
it is 26 minutes to 6. I guess we can probably talk about such things.
No, so 12 megapixel camera. With two lenses, not just one.
Why two? Why?
I don't know.
Actually, so that is an interesting question. If the idea of having two lenses, I wonder if they might actually be able to move more lens in order to affect zooming.
So an optical zoom.
This might be able to.
So instead of sticking proud of the case by, 1 or 2 millimetres, it'll stick proud by 5 millimetres?
Well, that was my biggest problem with the iPhone 6, is that protruding camera. And the fact that the only way to keep it protected is, and sure, other devices have the same protrusion.
Good idea. They should do the same as they've done with the Air. Make it a wedge shape phone, thinner down the bottom, wider at the top.
I don't know about your camera lens
up the top.
Yeah. The camera bump's annoying, but it doesn't actually scratch the lens. There's always a little bit of a lip that is what it actually rests on. It's okay. We're kind of used to them in
the camera bump.
The camera bump. Yeah. The camera bump. So the two lens thing is interesting. I sort of wonder if they're going to use it to do some kind of optical zoom, or maybe some kind of a trick like Sony's been doing with their cameras, because they've had a 20 megapixel camera for a few years, but they shoot and then they downsample to 8.
Could it be one lens on the front, one on the rear?
Maybe.
What would that be for?
Maybe.
Other rumors.
Rose gold.
Yeah. So I guess they're taking a leaf out of the watch.
That they're using the same color used on their own product.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. that would actually imply that it's going to be rose gold, as in actual 18-carat rose-colored gold.
So more expensive version.
Well, maybe.
A $12,000, $18,000 iPhone.
Actually, that would be really interesting, because that's going into Virtu territory. Like, Virtu sells Android phones that have like hand polished parts,
right?
And they sell them for megabucks. So maybe Apple does want to go
hand polished microchips.
No, the body. It's it's all like made by hand in a factory in the UK. There's like one dude who sits there and polishes the parts and then puts the phone together and then ships it to you. Mm. But yeah, it might be interesting if they were going to go that way, going for a super expensive iPhone.
Now, a couple of unimportant features that perhaps are rumoured is the A9 chip.
You don't get points for that. Like, if they bring out a phone with an A9 chip, so what? Yeah. Like, they've done it every other year.
If it's not faster, you'd expect that.
2 gig of memory. I don't actually know how much memory my phone has at the moment. So
I'm actually not sure if it's 1 or 1.5 gigs. Mm, but iPhones do traditionally have quite low memory capacity in them, and the OS is just it's optimized to perform in that space. But having some additional memory might mean that there's going to be some additional multitasking capabilities.
Yeah. Now there's also talk about returning to a 4-inch option. So the last 4-inch iPhone was, I think, the 4S. 4S, okay.
Why have people complained that they came too big?
Yeah, they totally have. It's amazing.
And of course, remember Bendgate, the iPhone 6 Plus issue where people would put it into their pockets.
It was a feature.
The phone would be in their pockets and it would bend. Of course, that could be done with a Samsung phone as well, but it made headlines with Apple.
It made headlines with Samsung as well, because at their launch event, they specifically told us that they won't bend.
Oops.
They crack instead.
Huh? Oops, yeah.
So they're talking about a strengthened aluminium case to try and resolve that concern. Again, I think this is something that may have come out of the watch development, because they've talked about, you know, their own alloys of aluminium for the watch. Maybe they've tried to play around with the alloy that's used in the phone
might,
as well.
That might be interesting to see where they go with that. I mean, they have been fairly sturdy phones.
Yep. Another rumor is integrating Force Touch, which is a new feature again with the watch that they're touting as being a pretty decent feature, and they're including it in their laptop ranges now.
In the new MacBook, yes.
Yeah, it's when you press harder on something.
It knows when you're pressing harder. Yeah.
And get some feedback.
Yeah. Well, there's the haptic engine underneath it causing taptic feedback.
The engine.
We, of course, talked about that last week, so if you're interested in what haptic and taptic are, do check out last week's episode if you haven't already. Now, improved Touch ID? I don't know how
it could improve. Does that mean it's not working properly at the moment?
Well, that's a good question. This is
who you ask.
It's a some rumor guru from China. His name's Ming Chi Ku. He has put that one out there. Better and safer, apparently. I don't know. That sounds a bit wishy-washy to me. But
it does sound like PR speak.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't really know how they'd improve Touch ID. It's pretty good at the moment.
And
maybe you have to hold your fingerprint for longer. Or maybe it's just more accurate. Who knows? Like I said, it does depend who you talk to at the moment. I know people who just think that Touch ID is just a janky pile of rubbish.
I think it's a bee's knees.
But I also know people who think it works fantastically. Like I said, it depends who you talk to. It depends how they use it. But I think on the balance of it, it's probably working really well. I wonder what they can do to it.
I have it integrated with LastPass. So before, I couldn't really use LastPass on a mobile device because to type my long master password is too hard. Mm. Just shove your finger on the fingerprint reader and it unlocks it. It's great.
Mm. I've been doing the same thing on my S6. Yeah, it's been great.
So has your friend who got married.
yeah. I was wondering why I kept logging into LastPass.
Can I buy your phone from Jason?
Now, the other maybe not so happy news for anyone who is a fan of Apple is that this next release probably won't be available this autumn, local time. It'd probably be only after autumn, say in the winter months, that it will be released.
Isn't that normal?
Yeah, usually around September, June, July, yeah, maybe even September normally.
Their normal release cycle is like September, October.
Yeah.
So they're
getting in early with these rumors, aren't they?
They are. When is Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference?
I think that's July, typically.
It's July. Okay, so Google has pulled theirs back to May this year, so theirs is happening early, and they're expected to announce some stuff there. But so Apple's WWDC is usually where they make platform announcements. Mm. And then they release the phone later in the year. So, like, it's not really that much of a surprise.
Yes, indeed. Now, we should move on. Also on the topic of Apple, but in this case, maybe some negative news. Their service, their personal assistant service called Siri, has been brought under question, particularly in Russia. Well, not actually in Russia, but in Russian speak. So the Russian version of Apple's personal assistant Siri is under fire after a Russian man posted a YouTube clip of the evasive responses gleaned from gay-related questions. Now, he was located in London, and the man, known only as Alex, asked Siri in Russian the following questions. Are there any gay bars around me? Tell me about gay marriage. And how do I register a gay marriage in England? Now, the responses that he got, respectively, for that were, I would have turned red if I could. You are so rude. And I will pretend I haven't heard.
That's usually how Siri responds if you swear at it.
The implication is that, any mention of the word the Russian word for gay, as in something like gi, I think, if you look at the... You're more European-oriented, aren't you, Michael?
Gi.
Gi? Gi. Apparently that is considered profanity. Well, that's a theory anyway. No one actually knows because Apple have been keeping quite quiet.
It's very strange, this. I wonder... I would have thought that the engine logic behind Siri was the same no matter what language. So is it a translation issue? Is it somebody...
It's localization, I think.
So what, they localized it with somebody and they didn't have somebody else check?
I don't understand. So probably, yeah. I can imagine this happening in China as well. You know, if someone asks about certain things, then they will probably censor certain responses in China.
There has to be context to it. I think that there's, you know, to deal with cultural differences at least, and to, you know, even just understand what one question in one country might mean versus another country.
Yeah,
there's got to be some sort of built-in logic for that. Mm. But when it goes to the point of, you know, implying that certain words are profanity when they perhaps shouldn't be, and particularly when we've got oppressive governments in place... And this is a US company, so, hey, you know, it's the land of the free, right?
So, of course, the disappointing part of all of this is that Apple has refused to talk about it.
When did this come about?
It actually came out about maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so it's enough time for Apple to go out and investigate and come back and say whatever they want to say.
Yeah. Mm.
So we posted on Facebook a link to the Russian guy, Alex, doing a demonstration of the Siri responses.
Yep.
Obviously, it's in Russian, so if you know Russian, then you may find that useful. Otherwise, well, it's always good to learn Russian.
You could read the captions if you want to know it in English.
Yes. So check out our Facebook feed. Technogaze on... No, Technogaze Joy 949.
Yes.
Just
it's gone well.
Technogaze.
Now, while we're in Russia...
Ah, yes. It's not the only problem that has come up with. I'm not sure that this qualifies as technology. So, well, there is a neon sign going on here, right?
And submarines is, you know, technology.
Oh, yes, of course. Okay, yep. So, who wants to go with this one? Okay, well, the proverbial finger has been raised to Russian submarines that wander into Swedish waters. Where the UK has their trident anti-nuclear military defence and the Israelis have their so-called Iron Dome, a Swedish peace group has installed a tongue-in-cheek deterrent to Russian submarines. It's officially titled the Singing Sailor Underwater Defence System. Is that a... No, there's no sort of pun on that acronym.
SUDS.
But it's been nicknamed the Gay Sailor. And it's a subsurface sonar system which sends out the message, this way if you're gay. In an attempt to deter... That was my most gay voice I could try.
I think you've done better before.
Possibly when I'm drunk, yes. In an attempt to deter apparently homophobic Russians. So it's actually...
Oh, my God, don't make me turn this submarine around.
So it's actually got Morse code emanating from the device as well to say these things, right?
So you've heard of the ping of death. This is the ping of gay. Yeah, the sonar ping.
What if the submarine does follow it? Like, does he arrive home for a court-martial?
Well, yeah, somebody's got a sense of humour. That's good.
Technogiz. Joy 94.9. On air and online at joy.org.au.
Now, being Technogiz here, we do like to balance out the Apple news with a bit of Samsung news. I guess they're kind of considered...
You lost the wrestling match. It's not balanced.
Well, I'm glad you kept the Apple news up while I was away as well. That was very kind of you. Michael.
I didn't mute you this afternoon either. Yet.
No, I'm very grateful for that. So Samsung have a new smartwatch that will actually have a round screen and a rotating bezel.
So, yeah, we don't really know too much about Samsung's new watch. They've been quiet on smartwatches for a while. They've had their own gear line for a couple of years now. They originally started actually running Android and then they moved them over to Tizen. And so... we're sort of hoping, maybe not expecting, but hoping that they might fall in line with Android Wear now and release another Android Wear device. So,
sorry, Android is, of course, the operating system that you see on most non-Apple phones, I guess.
Yeah, sure, let's look at it that way. You can run Android on lots of different form factors, and one of those things that you can run it on is a watch. So my watch is an Android Wear device, and so it is actually running Android.
Right.
But it's just a special version of Android that's designed for wearables.
And what's this Tizen?
So Tizen is Samsung's own operating system. It's sort of evolved from Barter and Wave and things like that. And it's actually running their... It's been running their smartwatches for the last year or so, but they haven't really released many. And it's also powering their 2015 smart TVs.
Right.
So why do they put it on the watch? Why not use Android Wear?
So Android Wear can only talk to Android devices.
Right.
And so if you have a watch that's running your own operating system, you can talk via... You basically do what Pebble does. You can talk to iOS and you can talk to Android devices. So if they release a watch, they want to get as many sales as possible. So it doesn't really make sense to ignore the Apple market for that as well. Although, having said that, just thinking about it now, their Gear watches haven't spoken to anything except Samsung phones in the past anyway. So who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? They haven't actually released a watch for about a year now. And in that year, a lot of companies have moved to round watch faces like the one on my wrist at the moment. So it's no surprise that Samsung is said to be working on a round smartwatch as well. They have released a new SDK, and it's, well, actually, I'm not sure if it's released or leaked, but some of the new features that they're working on the next watch include a rotating bezel that you can, so instead of having the crown on the watch at the moment, that might actually be something that you can rotate around on the face and maybe push something on that.
So like the old diver's watch where you can set your depth or whatever it was.
Yeah, you could use it to switch apps, make selections from menus, things like that. It could be a nice way of actually having some precise control over what's going on the watch.
I find it interesting that ever since Apple came out with the digital crown, as in the little turny wheel on the side of the watch, and made that as being a pretty key feature of the watch, that now, you know, other watchmakers, smart watchmakers anyway, are starting to talk about the physical aspects of their watches as well. It's almost like a realization that, you know, maybe interface is important.
So there's been an evolution happening on the Android side for watches, because we've had smartwatches for the last year.
Yep.
And initially when Android Wear devices came out, they didn't have any buttons on them at all.
Oh, wow.
And then there was a recognition that, you actually do need at least a button on it.
Your finger gets in the way of the display.
Yeah, your finger gets in the way of the display. And so the button can be used to wake the watch and put it back to sleep and things like that. But obviously, the next evolution of that is actually to give it some tactile control over what's happening on the screen. But as Android Wear is driven by Google, they don't evolve the platform quite as much as we might like, if we can see that coming.
Yeah, that's right. A little while ago, we saw it wasn't even a prototype, it was a video of a prototype of a wristband that projected onto your forearm an Android screen, and you could actually on your forearm flick and change screens. I wonder if they're going to do something like that, maybe not the projection for the watch, but to control it on the front of your hand, where you can just sort of move up and down and do gesture recognition at that level.
Maybe. I don't know. See, I don't think that projection is really... I don't think that's going to be...
But you could recognise the finger, the gesture movement on your hand, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps.
I've just seen some big numbers come up on the screen. some donations. They're almost too big to be true.
Wow. Yeah.
But if they are, Jonathan from Hotham Hill, thank you very much for those donations. Yes. Hmm. Very much. Wow, my heart is palpitating at the size of that. Yes, thank you. Anyway, you can also donate if you wish to. Joy.org.au is the place to go to.
That's right. Now, talking about donations or money.
Oh, yes.
Crowdfunding has leapt at pace above anything else.
Yes.
Because crowdfunding is going to save the world. Literally.
So, do you fear asteroids destroying us all?
After reading this website, a little bit, yes.
I also fear Bruce Willis destroying us all.
Well, if he turns to the terror side, then maybe he will. But
nothing can stop him.
Oh no! Who wrote this summary? Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, not Superman, but crowdfunding.
I wonder who.
I'm staring at you, Jason.
It wasn't me.
So we're not allowed to name and shame on the show.
No, we're not.
Move on.
We haven't named and shamed.
Apparently we haven't now. Anyway, so if you believe the headline, crowdfunding to save the world, then the Emergency Asteroid Defense Project, which is funded through Indiegogo, wants to have a chat with you. They are looking to continue research into hypervelocity asteroid intercept vehicles, which I think means shooting them out of the sky.
And the acronym is HAVES.
Okay.
That's
yes.
I'm not sure that's much of an acronym. Anyway, so these are designed to deflect or disperse asteroids and comets with only a few days' warning, which in the history of the world has not happened that many times, so I don't know how they're going to go for their dry run.
So is that defense shield or whatever it's called just pointing in the other direction?
Probably. It's probably something similar.
Yeah.
But whereas like the missile defense shield is countries putting up missiles to shoot down missiles against each other, who's going to put up the missiles to shoot these things down?
Now, if you do fund the project, you can get a badge or a sticker or space cream sandwiches, which is freeze dried ice cream.
Can you get your name on one of the missiles?
No, I think it would be better if you got an option to ride one of the missiles like Dr. Strangelove and Armageddon. You know, get a strap on board and off you go.
And off you go, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it's a one-way ticket to space.
I just got pictures of Cher for some reason.
Long cannon.
You have to have a slightly better spacesuit than Cher is known for wearing.
On that note, it is almost the end of the show. Time goes by so quickly here on Technogaze, and we'll wrap up in a few moments.
Joy 94.9.
That's pretty much everything we've got to talk about today here on Technogaze for this week. Today for this week, yes.
We filled the cupboard with talk.
Mm. The closet.
The closet.
But we're not in there. We're out and proud.
Indeed.
That's all we've got time for. If you missed any part of the show, or perhaps you'd like to peruse previous episodes, you can do so by checking out our podcast, joy.org.au/technogaze. Up next is a special GLBTIQ edition of Dick with a Touch of Pink. A Touch of Pink with Dick. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Jason, for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for bringing
It's always a pleasure.
It's good to put on the good weather while it's been a bit crap up in Sydney, hey? And thank you, Michael, for panelling and doing all your wonderful things.
It's been fun.
Catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.